I ask you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians in the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. It is very good to be home. Long week. Extremely long. I got to thinking there as I was sitting on the front pew a few moments ago that I'm sleepy. And I'm tired. I probably averaged about 5 hours of sleep a night. Just then getting up at 7 and going all day, getting home at about 11 o'clock at night. Then you have to wind down enough to go to sleep, and then you have to get up and do it all over again. Had a great week, though. I was telling folks in Bible study this morning that I think there are some really positive signs that's come out of this. Even the moderator, the fellow that Bruce Reeves was debating, Stephen Garrett was the man that Bruce was debating. His moderator came up and said, "Bruce, I agree with you about what you were saying in this debate on election." So that was rather an eye-opener. So we'll see how things turn out. But we had a very good week, very encouraged by the brethren that we met there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Lord willing, the seed has been planted, and much fruit will come from it. This morning, we're going to look at this subject of election. It is a Bible topic, and the truth is, there are many who have a wrong view of it. In fact, the subject of the debate was whether election was conditional or unconditional. Mr. Stephen Garrett took the position in the debate that election is completely, totally unconditional. God predetermined before the foundation of the world the certain individuals who would be saved, and that number could not be diminished or added to in any way. God predetermined that before the foundation of the world. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what it teaches? Well, the Scriptures teach that we are chosen in Christ. And the election must be understood as the choosing of God's people, that is, those who would believe in Christ. And only the members of that community, that class of people, would be saved. Had a fellow come up on Tuesday night, wanted to know, well, what does Bruce mean when he says class? What is that? What is he talking about? A class of people. God chose before the foundation of the world a class of people. Well, we use that expression today. Think about class. We have the upper class, the middle class, and the lower class. And our government decides they're going to tax certain classes of people different ways. We understand the difference in classes, class distinction. In fact, some even try to promote class warfare. Well, in the Bible, you have different classes. In fact, you have two primary different classes. You have believers and unbelievers. And I'll say to you that God has chosen the class of believers to be saved. God has chosen that the class of unbelievers would be lost. There's the class. So God has chosen classes. Now God has predetermined some things, and God has chosen some things, and there are several words in the Bible that speak of God's foreknowing and foreordaining things and choosing things. Parousia, for example, predestinate or foreordain. This does not demand that we understand that God has predetermined everything that happens. The Bible simply doesn't say that. Many have the idea that God flips every switch. He has decreed before the foundation of the world that everything happens that happens. In fact, a fellow said a few years ago that we debated that God only did not predetermine when a hair would fall from your head, but He decreed it and decreed the very exact point and time that it would fall. God predetermined all of that. Is that what the Bible says? No. Elego, elege, or electos, or legomai, election or choice. God has chosen some things. Bull, that is His counsel or His will. He desires some things and He has willed some things to happen. Prothesis, that is a plan or a purpose. And we're going to see some of these words in our study this morning. Philo, His will or His desire that something be. Edokia, His good pleasure, His will. Or prognosis, that is to know beforehand, prescience, foreknowledge. But none of these terms demand that we understand that God predetermined or selected certain individuals to be saved before the foundation of the world. Now certainly the class that God has chosen, the believing class, is made up of individuals. So thus individuals are chosen. The question is, when are they chosen? How are they chosen? Did God decree before the foundation of the world that Don McLean is going to be eternally lost and there's nothing that he can do about it? Did God decree before the foundation of the world that I would be eternally saved and there's nothing I can do about it? No, that's not the case. But God has predestined some things. The word predestined means to predetermine, to decide beforehand. There are things that God has decreed from eternity. There are things that He has appointed beforehand. It means properly to set bounds around. God has set limits. God has predetermined certain things would happen. And we cannot deny that. Ephesians 1 and verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. God predestined that those who believed in Jesus would be adopted into His family. That's what God predetermined to do. God has predetermined some things. Jesus was predetermined by God to die. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 47, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. God predetermined that Jesus would die. Now, those wicked people who carried out God's will, God did not make them wicked. God did not predetermine that they'd be wicked. But God did know that when He sent His Son, that the truth, bringing the truth into the world, preaching the truth, would so bring about the things that God has predetermined. Wicked men do exist. But why are they wicked? We'll talk about that, in fact, more tonight. But God predetermined that Jesus would die. God predetermined that His children will be conformed to the image of His Son. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the predetermined thing and the foreknowledge of God and His predetermination to conform those who believe into the image of His Son, both in time and in eternity. So God has predetermined that those who believe in His Son would be conformed to the image of His Son. That the gospel of Christ would be a mystery until He chose to reveal it. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. So God predetermined that the gospel would at one point in time be revealed. He carried that out, didn't He? And that believers in Christ Jesus would be adopted as God's very own children. And that believers in Christ Jesus should be to the praise of His glory. These two last statements are taken from Ephesians chapter 1. The word electos, or chosen, refers to the body of believers as God's chosen ones, or the elect. Thus, it has a corporate rather than individual sense. If you're going to be part of God's chosen, then you must enter into that sphere or into that corporate, predetermined, chosen body that is in Christ. The church's experience of salvation rests in the sovereign decision of God from the beginning to end. God has predetermined that. Electos can also refer to Jesus Christ as the chosen one. In fact, Isaiah 42 and verse 1 says, the one whom I have chosen. That's talking about Jesus. Okay, God has chosen Jesus. And He's chosen to bless all nations, all peoples, through Him. All who would come to Him by faith, they are recipients of those blessings. Even though He was a living stone rejected by most people, He is chosen by God. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 6. It is on Jesus as the cornerstone that the church, made up of living stones, that's individuals chosen by God, is built. We are built upon the chief cornerstone. Jesus was chosen, And all those who enter into Him are also thus chosen by God. Now, in your Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at this text and let's consider some things from this perspective, that God has chosen a class. Before the world began, He determined that those who believe in His Son, Jesus, would be saved. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. Now, these saints are where? In the city of Ephesus. And faithful in Christ Jesus. So here they are. Physically, where were they? In Ephesus. Spiritually, where were they? In Christ. Okay? So we're talking about a relationship here. Those who are in Ephesus, they weren't just passing through Ephesus. They weren't going by Ephesus. They were there in Ephesus, in a relationship. And those who were faithful in Ephesus, they were faithful in Christ. That's in a relationship. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us. Just as He chose us where? In Him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted, where? In the Beloved. That's in Jesus. Now, in this text, what we see over and over again, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. This goes throughout the book of Ephesians. In Christ, that is the chosen sphere, in the relationship with Christ. And what you find in Christ is first the chosen class, that is the class, the saints who are faithful in Christ. This is the chosen class. And He says in verse 3 that in Christ Jesus all spiritual blessings are found. Verse 3. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, where? In Christ. One of the questions that we asked Mr. Garrett, in fact it was Monday night. Question number 1. Is election a spiritual blessing? Of course, the answer to that is yes. Election is a spiritual blessing. Being chosen is a spiritual blessing. Okay? Where are we chosen? In Christ. So how can a person be chosen outside of Christ? How can it be chosen before the foundation of the world if being chosen is a spiritual blessing and is found only where? In a relationship with Christ. So, a blessed class. A chosen class. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The class was chosen. The sphere was chosen. And all who would enter into that class would be chosen. Now, in fact, to indicate this, notice He says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, the class, us, the chosen class, the faithful who are in Christ Jesus, that's who He's writing to, had been adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, adoption. Think about that word for just a moment. I think there's some significance to it. A person who is adopted, I was adopted when I was 8 months old. My parents, my biological parents, brought me into this world. But then I was adopted into another family. A family that I was not naturally a part of. Okay? Adoption indicates a change of family status. A person who was in this family is taken and now put into another family. All legal rights of the first family are severed, and then the other family now has all legal rights. Micah, my grandson, by the way, very good things have been happening this past week, and so it's just a matter of formality now, technicality. Brandon and Kelly, Micah is going to be theirs, adopted. Okay, from one family into another. If predestination, according to the Calvinistic view, were true,
how and why would Paul use this term adoption? They were never in another family. They were predetermined and decreed before the foundation of the world that they be saved. They were chosen. They were always in Christ, according to that view. So how could there be an adoption that takes place? How could they be transferred from one family into another family? I don't see how that's possible. But anyway, adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Made us accepted, the accepted class. We were not accepted, but now we are accepted. A change had to take place in order for that to occur. In Him. In fact, you go on in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Redemption means to be bought back. That means to be delivered from bondage. We were redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things where? In Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the good pleasure of His will. God predestined that all those who would believe would obtain this inheritance. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Now, this text, turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. And look at some passages there with me. Ephesians 3. Look at verse 6. Paul says there that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. Okay, so they're going to be partaking of this, of the benefits of being in this class through the gospel. He says then in verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here you have the change of one class into another class, but this class is according to the eternal purpose of God. What is this class here? It's the church. It's the body of Christ. God predetermined that before the foundation of the world. Now, there's something else. You go back to chapter 2 of Ephesians and you look at some things there. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2, verse 12. It says that in that time you were... Now, in that time, okay, so we're in time. Now, we're not before eternity, but we're in time. In that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, what was the condition of these Gentiles who were outside of Christ? What was the condition of them? They were lost, without hope. Does it sound like these people were eternally decreed to be saved? No matter what they did or what they believed? No. It's in time they were lost without hope. We ask another question during the debate. Is a person who is elected or chosen before the foundation of the world, according to your position, ever in any jeopardy of being lost? The answer to that question was no. But this passage says these people who were now in Christ in time passed, they were not in Christ and without hope. They were lost. How could that be if that doctrine were true? But we're chosen in Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul makes this statement. He says this, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. In one body. Okay, you have a community of believers there in verse 12. You have the body in verse 16. And fellow citizens. There's the idea of family. kingdom, citizenship, in verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but now you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you have citizenship, you have familial association. So you have been taken from one family and placed in another family. And in chapter 2 and verse 21, you have the idea of a temple in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We are a building, and that goes over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 6. So, we're chosen in Christ, in Him. We are chosen. We are designated as a heritage. In fact, the RV makes that point. We are a people who are now taken and we're placed from one place into another. We have become the heritage of God. So, something has changed. It was predestined or predetermined that the believer's heritage would be in Christ. Now, the church, the chosen sphere, the community of believers, was predetermined before the foundation of the world. This choice was made in accordance with God's wisdom, in accordance with God's pleasure, in accordance with God's purpose, and the mystery of His will which was revealed, chapter 1 and verse 9, according to also chapter 3 and verse 6. So, God chose before time these things in the church. That is, according to the Scripture, God's eternal decree. But God did not look down through time and select certain individuals to be saved and others to be lost. Not based on anything that they did. Unconditionally. God didn't do that. What that means is you have a choice. You can choose who you are going to serve in your life. Isn't that what Joshua said? Isn't that what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We make the choice. So, look at verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says, in Him, here's that sphere, that class, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In whom you also trusted. Now, before they trusted the gospel, before they heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, what condition were they in? They were lost. But they had heard the word of truth, and they had heard the gospel of salvation, and they believed it. Thus they became part of that class. Believing class. There are two classes. Believers and unbelievers. The people that Paul was writing to was in the class of believers. Which class are you in this morning? If you are a believer, if you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are included in Christ. You are in this sphere. You are a stone in the temple. You are a member of the community. You are a citizen in the kingdom. You are a member of the body. You've been adopted into the family of God. A part of the class. You are chosen of God. But that came about due to you hearing the gospel. Now, they were included as God's chosen people at that point. Now, God predetermined before the foundation of the world some things. I do not believe that God chose certain individuals to be saved and there's nothing they could do about it one way or the other. But I do believe that God chose before the foundation of the world the type of person that would be saved. You go to Matthew chapter 5 verses 3 through 12 and you read the Beatitudes. These are the type of people that can be saved. Those who have these attitudes. Those who are humble. Those who are meek. Those who seek the truth. This is the type of person that God will save. Then, the obedient to become believers. The obedient becoming members of the chosen family. He chose that those who obey would become members. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, "For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ hath put on Christ." Ye are, present condition, children of God. How? By faith in Christ. See that? How did they get into Christ? "For as many of you," that expression, by the way, means no more and no less. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ hath put on Christ." Those who make their calling and election sure. God has chosen the type of person. He's chosen that He would save the obedient. He's chosen that He would save those who make their calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. "Be diligent," Paul says, "to make your calling and election sure." Can we lose it? Sure we can. Sure we can. But friend, if it was foreordained before the foundation of the world to certain individuals that would be saved, and there's nothing that they can do about it, no choice that they can make to affect it, then that is not possible. They could not lose it. In fact, you know where the doctrine of once saved, always saved really comes from? It comes from this doctrine of unconditional election. But the Scriptures teach that God chose us in Him, and we do have free will. We can choose to leave Christ if we are in Him, and if we are not in Him, we can choose to enter Him and become part of that sphere. God, by His wisdom, planned before the time began that He would save those who believed in His Son. God chose what? The chosen would be holy and without blame in Christ. God chose the class, that is the believers, that would be adopted as sons. And the motive of this was God's good pleasure, His love for us. His love for man. He gave the opportunity to be saved in Christ. Will we accept that opportunity? God chose before the world the faithful in Christ. He chose the where in Christ's body. He chose the how, that those who enter that body would do so by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. And He chose when. Those who by grace through faith were baptized into the family of God. And He chose what? The forgiveness. The grace, peace, inheritance, adoption, eternal life. All those blessings that we see there in Ephesians chapter 1. There are means to this choice. We are chosen. Saints are chosen in Christ. That's in Christ. It's in Him. We have redemption through His blood. Without His blood being shed, we could not be the chosen. We couldn't be saved. In Ephesians 2 and verse 16, in one body through the cross. Without Jesus going to the cross, we couldn't be saved. Partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. Without the preaching of the gospel, people can't be saved. And Ephesians 3 and verse 6 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. If we don't believe in Jesus, my friend, we can't be saved. It is through faith in Christ. Are you in Christ? And I know that sometimes we shy away from this terminology. A relationship. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Friend, I'll tell you right now, we need to have that relationship. We better have that relationship. We need to have a relationship. We need to be in Christ. That's what that is, a relationship. But the denominational world has so perverted that, and they've so abused it, we shy away from that. Because when we say it, they think what they think it means, when we mean something else. We mean that those who've been baptized into Christ have entered into the family of God, into that relationship. So, He chose us in him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Mount Zion a chief cornerstone. There's Jesus, elect and precious. He's the elect one. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. You become one of those stones being built in the building. Verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. How was that call made? It was by the gospel. It was through the gospel. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. When we enter into Christ, when we're baptized into him, we are God's chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, his own special people. God has chosen the class. Okay, he'd done that before the foundation of the world. But now in time, God still chooses. God chooses individuals. He chooses those who choose to believe in Jesus. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter, as he has concluded his sermon on who Jesus Christ is, that he is the prophesied Messiah, he is asked in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's response is found in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there you have a statement, baptized, repent and be baptized into Christ for remission of sins. Be baptized. Okay, you look at later on in that chapter and what do you see? Look at verse 41, when those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were what? Added to them. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. God chooses those who, by faith, enter into Christ in baptism. In time. In Ephesians 2, in verses 12 and 13, in time, these were not a people. They were lost, without hope, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. But now in Christ, in time, these Ephesians had went from one class into the saved class. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 9 and 10, who were not a people, but now are the people of God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This was one of the passages throughout the debate, throughout the week, that was mentioned in defense of the doctrine of unconditional election that was defended by Mr. Stephen Garrett. But notice in this verse some things. Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some interesting things as we did a lot of research on this verse because we knew that this would be one of His primary proof texts. And as we studied, it kind of just dawned on us. It became very obvious that this passage has been abused for years and years and years. But the passage says some things that in fact demonstrate or prove the position that I have presented to you this morning. It says, first of all, God chose from the beginning God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. The word chose you for salvation or to salvation, that phrase is being modified by this idea of being sanctified by the Spirit and belief in the truth. In other words, the choice was made through these means. The means of sanctifying through belief of the truth, which they were called by the gospel. The gospel is the means of God choosing them. And so, if that's the case, then they weren't chosen before the foundation of the world, they were chosen in time. God chose them through these means. That's what the passage actually means. And not only that, something else that was very interesting, that word beginning, does it say the beginning of time? Does it say the beginning of the world? What does that mean? Beginning. They just read in there, they assume that it means from the foundation of the world. It's not what it says. In fact, the latest findings in the most ancient manuscripts that have been found indicate that this probably should be rendered first fruits instead of beginning. That would change the whole meaning of the passage. These in Thessalonica were the first fruits, that is, the first ones who were saved in Achaia. And other passages back that up. If that's the case, Paul is giving thanks that the gospel had been sent to these Gentiles in Achaia first through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. They were chosen through these means. The passage does not teach what many think it teaches. And then Romans 16, 3 through 13. You know, the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 7, he mentions some folks and he says, they were chosen in the Lord before I was. If they were in the Lord, if they were chosen before Paul was chosen, how could they have all been chosen at the same time before time began? It's impossible. And then 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit you have all been baptized into one body. We go from one sphere, one class, into another class when we're baptized into the body of Christ. In Romans 6 and verses 3 through 6, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death. That's when we come in contact with the benefit of His death. When we're baptized into Christ. Then he says that we're raised to walk in newness of life. Things have changed. We're a different person. We've been adopted into the family of God. And we are to live holy lives. Romans 6 goes on and emphasizes that. And again, I want to take you back to Galatians 3 and verse 26. For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ hath put on Christ. Friend, if you have not been baptized into Christ, you are not in Christ. If you are not in Christ, then you are not the chosen of God. You are not of His elect. You're not in that class of people, the class of believers that God predetermined that He would save. Are you in Christ this morning? If you're not, one of the beauties of this particular view of election, and one of the great truths of it, is this. You can choose to get into that class. You can make the choice this morning to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. You can make the choice this morning to have your name written in the book of life. Another argument that was made, the book of life. Before the foundation of the world, these names were written in the book of life. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible also says that those names can be blotted out of that book of life. The book of life has existed from eternity. And names have been written in it. But names are written in it in time. And if you obey the gospel, your name will be added there. It'll be recorded. Maybe you've turned away from the Lord and your name has been blotted out of the book of life. My friend, outside of Christ, you are, as those Ephesians were, lost and without hope. You are not chosen of God. You're not a child of God. You are not accepted by God. You're not redeemed. You're not forgiven. And you have no heavenly inheritance. But if you are in Christ, if you are in that chosen sphere, in the body of Christ, then all these blessings mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1 are yours. All spiritual blessings. You're chosen of God. You are a child of God. You're accepted by Him. You are redeemed, forgiven, and you have this eternal inheritance promised to you. Have you been baptized into Christ? This morning, you have a choice to make. If you're not in Christ, you can choose to enter into that family, that adopted class. Maybe you are in Christ. Maybe you have been faithful to Him, but you've wandered away. What about that? Is your name in danger of being blotted out from the book of life? If there's anything we can do this morning to help you, if you'd like to study this more, or you'd like to study the Scriptures with us, we'd be glad to do that. Anything at all we can do to help you. We want you to go to heaven. We want to help you. If we can, won't you come and stand aside?